Reading Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Loez by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 19. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for myself and yourself for listening to this tape or CD or for any of our Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 39, Pasuk Beis. I will repeat the Pasuk. Amarti Eshmura Dorochai Mechato Belshoni Eshmura Lefi Machsom Beod Rosh Negdi. I said, I will take heed of my ways, that I do not sin with my tongue. I will keep a curb upon my mouth while the wicked is before me. When I see a wicked man prosper and doubts arise in my heart, I say to myself, I will take heed of my ways, that I do not sin with my tongue. When I behold the wicked man before me, it is not enough to guard my tongue. I then say to myself, I will keep a curb upon my mouth, not to complain. Were anyone to hear me complain, he might say to himself, if David HaMelech can complain, then I can have the same complaint, that my weakness has brought me to sin. According to the Chovos HaLevavos, the best way to attain the level of saintly moderation is to imprison the tongue and stop up the lips. It should be easier to activate any other organ of the body than to move the tongue. The tongue may be compared to the gate of a treasure vault. When the gate is well guarded, the treasury and everything in it are well guarded. Similarly, the singer says here, I said, I will take heed of my ways, that I do not sin with my tongue. When face to face with the evil inclination, with the Yetzer Hara, while the wicked one is before me, David would say, there is no better way to be on guard than to keep a curb upon my mouth. First, I must resolve to accept the obligation to keep on the good path, heed of my ways, and to begin by guarding my mouth in all matters pertaining speech. For the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Mishlei. Thus, the first letters of the words Eshmera Lefi Machsom, as we find in our pasuk, these words, spells Elam, dumb. As he goes on to say, I was dumb with silence. We'll learn this in the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, pasuk 3. Ne'alamti dumiya hecheshesi mitov ch'evi ne'akor. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace for the good, and my pain was stirred up. Although my pain was stirred up and became aggravating, I curbed my mouth, I was dumb with silence, as if I were dumb. I held my peace for the good, lest my mouth err to utter evil words. I so habituated myself in the trait of silence, I appeared naturally dumb. I could not bring words out of my mouth, even about good things. Some explain this pasuk in accordance with the following teaching of the Talmud. How far does evil talk go? Declare yourself silent before it. Even when one begins by speaking in praise of another, in the end one comes to speak evil of him. Thus David says here, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace. Why did I hold my peace? For it is good. I said to myself, it is good, preferable to keep silent rather than to speak. However, my pain was stirred up. Keeping silent intensified my pain. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Cham libi bekirbi ba'agigi sivar esh dibarti bolshoni. My heart was hot with me while I was musing. The fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. The singer depicts the fierce fever in his body. My heart was hot with me. So great was the heat that while I was musing and when I spoke with my tongue, a fire seemed to issue from my mouth. The fire burned. During my fever while musing, I spoke with my tongue. What did I say? I spoke about the brevity of human life, how this prevents us from acquiring knowledge of Hashem's secrets. David compares himself to a young student seated before his tutor, who tells him to study a difficult halacha and then to repeat it soon after. The student complains that he cannot be expected to master the subject in so a short time. Similarly, David now goes on to say, Hashem, Make me know my end, and to measure my days, what it is. Let me know how short-lived I am. Then I will know if I have enough time to learn to understand your secrets. Pasuk 5. For the Eini Hashem Kitzi Umidas Yomai Mahi Edo Mo Chodel Oni. Hashem, make me know my end, and to measure my days, what it is. Let me know how short-lived I am. David asked Hashem for knowledge of two things: how many years he would live, and the measure of my days. The latter means, would he measure for measure, have a good life or a bad life? Let me know what kind of world is my world. World is chalad, which is in this interpretation is associated with the word chadal. In his illness and affliction, David pleads, let me know how short-lived I am. If my suffering must continue for a long time, I will pray that you take my soul. But if I am to live many more good years, I will endure the present suffering. Similarly, Eov said, and what is my end? That I should be patient. If my end is a long time off, and I can expect to complete the normal span of a man's years, I will endure my suffering. But if my days are numbered, I will ask for death. A more literal translation of Ma Echdol is what I will forgo. The corresponding interpretation says, Hashem, make me know my end and the measure of my days. I will then know what things to forgo. I will devote myself only to the necessary things. The Talmud relates that when David asked to know when his end would come, Hashem said, it is decreed before me that no man is informed of his end. Finally, however, he told him that he was to die on a Shabbos. David studied Torah throughout that Shabbos day, and the angel of death had no access to him. The angel of death then caused a rustling of the trees in the garden, which made David interrupt his study to investigate the noise, and he died. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Hinei tepochos nosato yomai, V'cheldi cha'ayin negdecho ach kol hevel kol odom nitzav sela. Behold, you have made my days as hand breaths, and my age is as nothing before you. Surely every man at his best estate is altogether vanity, sela. In my illness and suffering, I realize that my days are short. They can be measured in hand breaths. Indeed, my age is as nothing before you. The average human lifespan is as nothing compared with your eternity. And even if a man live unduly long, surely every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. The upper bound of man's lifetimes is about 70 years, which too is vanity. So why do you want to shorten even these few years? A different interpretation is based on the literal meaning of the words Ach kol hevel kol odom natsav selam. Namely, but every vain thing is seen by all men as established forever. David Amel says, I know that you have made my days as hand breaths, and my age is as nothing before you. But all other men think that every vain matter is established forever and will not be moved. Some explain that David is referring to the fact that all the years of his life were not his own, but were donated to him by Adam and the others, after they had been deducted from their own lifetimes. Accordingly, he says, you have made my days as a collection of handbreadths, a little from this one, a little from that one. You have made my days as handbreadths, compared to a man pulling on the rope 70 cubits long. At any one moment, he holds in his hand only one handbreadth. There were three kinds of measures in the Beis Hamikdash: the cubit, the finger length, and the handbreadth. My days are measured by the smallest of these measures, the hand breath. These matters may also be explained by means of a parable. Two partners dealt in precious stones, only one of whom was wealthy. The other served as his advisor, and even though he owned only a small portion of the business, his wife always kept badgering him for jewels and precious stones. Finally, he approached his rich partner and asked for an accounting of their respective shares in the business. He explained, it is not my wish suddenly to find out how much I possess, but how much I do not possess. Let my wife realize that I'm not a rich man and stop demanding jewelry from me all the time. The meaning of the story is as follows. Man's passion tells him, your days in this world are few, so eat and drink and enjoy its pleasures. David responds, Hashem, make me know my end and to measure my days, what it is, let me know how short-lived I am. Behold, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my ages as nothing before you. It is meant to teach us that surely every man and his best estate is altogether vanity, selah. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7. Ach betzelim is halach ish, ach hevel yemoyun yisbor v'lo yeda mi osfa. Surely every man walks in as a shadow, surely they are in turmoil and vain. He heaps up riches and knows not who will gather them in. In this brief span of years, a man lives at all times in the shadow of death. Every day, moreover, his shadow shortens as the chances increase that he will die before his time. A man would quickly perish as a result of all his troubles, but he keeps going in the merit of the shadow of God, the divine supervision over him. I'm not alone in my cry that life is but a shadow. The whole world says so. Man is so short-lived, he heaps up riches and knows not who will gather them in. This is the reason that men are in turmoil and cry that everything is in vain. One heaps up riches and knows not who will gather them in. Some explain the meaning of in a shadow but seldom as a darkness of ignorance, for a man does not know the day of his death. Others follow a literal interpretation, namely that a man in the shadow changes from day to day and period to period like a river that keeps reversing its flow. There's a famous story about Alexander the Great of Macedonia, who came to the gates of the Garden of Eden and shouted in a loud voice for the gates to be opened. This story is brought down in the Gemara Talmud, if anybody wants to learn it. They said to him, this is the gate of Hashem, the righteous will enter it. Said he to them, I'm a king, give me something. So they gave him a round human eye. He set much of his silver and gold on one pan of a scale, and their combined weight was not enough to outweigh the eye that was placed on the other pan. What is the meaning of this? He demanded of the sages, and they replied, this is the eye of man, and it's never sated. How do you know that this is so, that it's never sated? They replied, take some dust and cover the eye. It will immediately be outweighed. Thus it says, the pit and destruction are never sated, so the eyes of men are never sated. It's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. And by the way, if anybody is interested, the entire Mishlei with the Ma'am Lois commentary has been put on tape or CD if anybody would like it. True, the measure of my lifetime is short as a handbreadth, and my entire world is as nothing before you. Assuredly, every man loses his short and precious time on vanities. So what is the answer? Every man should live by applying the shadow of God within him to attain spiritual ends. Except for this pursuit, whereby the human being enriches himself here and the world to come, all else is turmoil in vain. A man heaps up riches and material possessions, but knows not who will finally gather them in. They will fall into the hands of those who did not toil for them. Pasuk says, Ach hevel yemoyun, some perceive an allusion to kain and hevel. The entire earth was theirs, yet they quarreled, each one claiming that all of it belonged to him. A different interpretation says, he heaps up riches and knows not who will gather them in. A man thinks that my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth, the pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, but it's actually Hashem who gathered them in for him. Zohar says, surely every man walks as a shadow. A man has no life except through the shadow of God, and when he is close to death, 30 days before, the shadow leaves him. If the shadow of God was still within him, the angel of death could have no power over him. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his companions had knowledge of this. Heed this, all you inhabitants of the world. The wild cat drags its prey and stops to rest, then drags it some more and again stops. The same holds true for all men. They gather in and rest, but they do not know to whom they will leave it all. The wildcat expends all its energy gathering food, and because it is then too exhausted to carry everything on its back, drags it on the ground to the lair. In the end, another creature comes along and snatches it away. Similarly, the wealthy man labored all of his life to amass money and possessions, but they do not remain with him forever. He gathered them in, but he does not know to whom he will leave them. Pasuk 8. And now, Hashem, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. And now, Hashem, at this time when I am so afflicted with suffering, what do I wait for? Who can bring me deliverance? If not you, my eyes are lifted up to you alone, and my hope is in you, for you have the power to heal me. Now that I see all the affairs of this world as altogether vanity, there is nothing here to look forward to, and all my hope is in you. It is not for my own benefit that I now wait and plead for your deliverance and place my hope in you. It is for your sake, so that your name be sanctified in the world. There is a difference between Tocheleth and Tikvah. The first means to wait for something in the near future, and the second means to look forward to something that's far off in time. Hence, David says, and now soon, what do I wait for? What have I now to look forward to in my life in this world? To behold the beauty of Hashem in the world to come, my hope is in you. Others spend their lives amassing riches, having no knowledge of who will gather them in the end. But I wait for you, and my hope is in you. All I want is for you to inform me how short-lived I am and the measure of my days, so that I may serve you. Pasuk 9. Save me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the fool villain. The Gemara says the Medavid was stricken with leprosy, and as a result, the judges of Sanhedrin left his presence. He pleaded for relief. Save me from all my transgressions, and make me not the reproach of the fool and the villain. Some say that David alludes to Shimi ben Gera, who cursed him, and yet David protected him from the wrath of his men. Let him curse, he said, for Hashem has bidden him, as we find this in Shmuel base. Others say it refers to Nabal the Carmelite, who after he cursed David, his heart turned to stone, as we also find this in Shmuel Aleph. If one sees unbecoming conduct on the part of a friend, and he does not judge him unfavorably, but seeks to justify him, the merit of this attitude will stand by him whenever he is guilty of the same offense. Thus David says here, if I will do so for my friend, that will save me from all my transgressions. Others will also judge me favorably, and I will be spared the reproach of being a fool villain. The reproach of the villain, let me never be too weary to keep the mitzvahs, and then the villain will not bear witness against me to have me excluded from heaven. Satan will not testify that on this day I have been neglectful. Make me not the reproach of the fool villain. My suffering prompts the villains to say that my afflictions are due to my sins. So from now on, save me from all my transgressions. If then new afflictions beset me, I will no longer hear the reproach of the villain. I know that what kills is not the poisonous bite of the viper, but sin. Therefore I plead, save me from all my transgressions. They are the cause of my pain and my sickness. Save me by forgiving my sins. Pasuk Yud. Ne'alamti lo eftach bi ki ato sisa. I am dumb, I do not open my mouth because you have done it. When the wicked man abuses me, declaring that my sins are the cause of my suffering, I remain silent as one dumb. I do not open my mouth to utter a word in reply. I do not speak, then having spoken, regret my words, as some will do. For I do not open my mouth at all. Why? Because you have done it, as there is no suffering unless there is transgression. What complaint can I express? Another interpretation is based on the continuation of the present pasuk. When suffering afflicts me, I do not open my mouth to complain that you have done it. I do not cry out against the attribute of judgment to say that you brought this evil upon me. For I know that with rebukes you chasten man for iniquity, and you pay him in accordance with what he deserves. According to an interpretation earlier, that make me not the reproach of the villain refers to Shimi ben Gera. David says here, I was dumb, I did not open my mouth, I held back my men from killing Shimi ben Gera. I said to them, let him curse, for Hashem had bidden me, found in Shmuel base, hence the present you have done it. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Hoser me'olai, nig'echo, mitigras, yodcho, ani, cholizim. Remove your stroke from off me, I am consumed by the blow of your hand. Remove your stroke of illness from off me, for I am consumed almost by the severity of the blow of your hand. Another interpretation says, remove from me the fear of your stroke. Similarly, we find in Moab was sore afraid, Pasuk as found in Chumash Bamidbar. You deliver blows and you wage wars. So I pray, remove your stroke from off me. You crush and you heal, so I pray, remove your epidemic from off me. Do not say that my punishment has been light, for I am consumed. I am almost departed from this world because of the severe blow of your hand. If you do not deliver me now, when? Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. V'tzolchochos al avon yisarto ish v'temes cho'osh chamudo ach hevel ko adam selah. With rebukes you chasten man for iniquity, and you make his beauty consume away as if by a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. The sicknesses I suffered were chastisements for iniquity. You caused my body so precious to me to melt like a moth destroying a garment. Let me live out the span of 70 years of vanity normally allotted to most men. Do not let me die. Then again, David says, surely every man is unrelieved futility, so why impose upon him so much suffering and bitter judgment? Another interpretation is based on the reading of Tomos as Tomos, which will abhor. When a man is afflicted by suffering, all the precious things of this world become abhorrent to him. It is like a worm eating of one's food, making it abhorrent. But even without suffering, surely every man is vanity, and one should detest the lust of this world. When you afflict a man, you do not afflict him by taking his life. You begin with his possessions, hence the allusion to a moth consuming something precious. The man's wealth melts away like a garment that is eaten by moths. If he does not learn his lesson, however, the man himself then becomes in vain. With rebukes you chasten me for iniquity. According to the Medrash, this alludes to Shaul HaMelech, who was called a man. Surely every man is vanity. The suffering that Hashem brings upon any man is in accordance with a man as a vain and futile creature, not in accordance with the blemish caused by his transgressions in the supernal worlds. According to our sages, this part of the pasuk alludes to the man Moshe. As a result of a single iniquity on his part, when he rebuked your children, when he said, hear now, you rebels, you rebuked him and chastened him. You consumed his beauty like a moth entering a garment to make it rot. The beauty, Chamodo, refers to the land of Israel, as it says, to give you a precious land, Eretz Chemda, found in Yirmiyahu. Moshe was denied entry into the Holy Land. Suffering also consumes one's most beloved thoughts and ideas. A person is then divested of Torah learning, of his thoughts of serving Hashem, and of his traits of excellence. There remains only vanity. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Shimati filasi Hashem Mishav Osi Ha'azina Eldim Osi Al Techarash Kiger Anochi Imoch Toshav Kechol Avosoi. Hear my prayer, O Hashem, and give ear to my cry. Keep not silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a settler, as were all my fathers. Now that I have submitted to your rebuke and have borne the suffering that you brought upon me, hear my prayer, O Hashem, and cleanse me of my iniquity, for I am a stranger with you, a settler, as were all my fathers. Similarly, David said elsewhere, for we are strangers before you and settlers as were all our fathers, as found in Divrei Hayamim. A man is as a stranger in this world, constantly moving from place to place. He has no fixed position on the earth, and every day finds him on the road, moving away from his present position. Yet he's also called a settler, for he tends to make himself comfortable, as if he were assured of remaining here forever. Either way, the length of his stay here, as well as his departure, are both with you. They are dependent on Hashem. Some perceive an allusion to the teaching that David was meant to die at birth, but Adam had granted him 70 years from his own life. Hence, I am a stranger with you, but become a settler as all Kohol my fathers were. The numerical value of Kohol is 70. Our sages teach that ever since the day of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the gates of prayer have been locked, as it says, "Yes, when I cry and call for help, He shuts out my prayer." A pasuk that is found in Eicha. However, the gates of tears have not been locked, as it says here, "Hear my prayer, O Hashem, and give ear to my cry. Keep not silent at my tears." Rashi explains the proof that the gates of tears have not been locked is that the pasuk says, "Keep not silent at my tears." It does not say, "Behold my tears." It means that the tears are in fact seen by Hashem. We must only ask that they be acceptable before Him. Accordingly, David goes on to say, "For I am a stranger with you, a settler, as were all my fathers." That is to say, although it is true that ever since the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, I am a stranger in a strange land, and a wall of iron separates between Klal Yisrael and their Father in heaven, yet am I a settler, as were all my fathers. You respond to tears even today, just as you accepted the prayers of our forefathers who dwelt in the land of Israel when the Beis Hamikdash was in existence. The present pasuk alludes to three forms of repentance: prayer, crying out, and tears, and none is as important as tears. Coming from the heart and soul, it can pierce all 13 gates and extend before Hashem Himself. Rav Elazar and the Chachamim of Caesarea taught, regarding prayer, it says here, "For it is not always accepted. Crying out is more than prayer, as when one cries out from the depths of the heart, so the Torah says, 'Give ear,' as one who inclines his ear to listen, but Hashem does not always act to alleviate a cry for help. Tears, however, come from the heart and the will and the entire body, and so it says, 'Keep not silent.'" Our sages say that sometimes tears do not rise on high to come before God, such as tears aroused by anger or tears shed by one who judges another unfavorably. The tears of repentance and tears caused by pain will, without exception, pierce the firmaments, open the gates, and ascend. As it says regarding Yechezkel, "After he wept, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you." It's found in Melachim Beis. Furthermore, it says regarding the future, "And Hashem God will wipe off tears from all faces," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. There are commendable tears related to the good inclination in man, and there are deplorable tears stemming from the evil inclination. Regarding the tears of pain and prayer, the Torah says, "They will come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way where they will not stumble." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. "Hear my prayer, O Hashem. My aim and intent is entirely for your glory. So accept my prayer, give ear to my cry, and be merciful to me. Keep not silent at my tears to deliver me, for I am a stranger in the land. All my affairs in this world are those of a stranger who has not come to take up permanent residence. If to some extent I am a settler, as when I make it my concern to procreate, that's only for the sake of the future generation, as were all my fathers. I do no more than what my forefathers did for my sake when they brought me into the world. Simi David says elsewhere, "For we are strangers before you and settlers, as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow and no one hopes." Pasuk that's found in Divrei HaYamim. Our sages comment, "If only it were as the shadow of a wall or the shadow of a tree which endures, but it is as a shadow of a bird in flight, as it says, 'Man is like a breath His days are as a shadow that passes away, and no one hopes, no one expects not to die. Appropriately, the pasuk says that our days over the earth are as a shadow. It does not actually say bo'oritz, on the earth, for a man's days are rather like a shadow of a bird flying over the earth. It does not linger for more than a moment in any one location on the surface of the earth. Please turn tape over to side B.